Welcome to Off Leash and Unfiltered. Trigger warning, I'm Katie Pepe, delivering the truth in dog training. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Off Leash and Unfiltered. I'm Katie Pepe, owner of Diamond Canine Dog Training in Biddeford, Maine. We specialize in e-collar training, both for off-leash obedience, that nice off-leash reliability, and stopping unwanted behaviors like barking, jumping, pulling on the leash, getting into the garbage, all of that stuff. Even reactivity, aggression, resource guarding, separation issues, everything. And we especially love doing the more in-depth state of mind work with dogs that are nervous, fearful, or super anxious. We also do puppy training. So that's who we are and what we do. And this podcast is our way of sharing with you everything that we're seeing and doing, everything we're learning from the dogs every day, everything we're talking about with our customers, with you guys. Or in the case of today, for instance, sharing with you my thoughts on the stupid posts I see on social media. So we can't leave that out. So for some reason, Facebook loves to show me posts from this dog trainer who clearly is a purely positive dog trainer. And I'm not going to mention her name because I don't need her page to be getting more play, right? That's what happens generally when you give these people attention. Is they get more attention, and you know, any publicity is good publicity, right? So I'm not even going to do her the favor of mentioning her name. But one of her more recent posts really fueled my fire, so I want to talk a little bit about that. And it's funny because if you look at the post, which is sort of in the form of a meme, right? It's really just a picture of a pit bull with a prong collar on. And there's just a message written on the picture. And at face value, I don't actually have a problem. I don't have a problem with the image or with the message that's on the image. So I'll just read it to you. It says, ask any dog trainer that you are considering hiring what equipment and training collars they use and why. Then ask if they can train a dog without this equipment. If not, ask why. I actually don't have any problem with that message because it doesn't actually say anything overwhelmingly positive or negative about specific methods or philosophies. It simply encourages people to ask specific questions. And so I don't actually have a problem with that. Now, if you dive into her actual post that accompanied the picture, you'd see there are some problems with it. And then if you dive into the comments, of course, you would see some problems there too. But here's the thing. You should ask a dog trainer that you're considering hiring what they use for equipment. I mean, that is going to be a major component in your training program. Obviously, these are going to be the tools that you're using to communicate with your dog and to facilitate behaviors, and you're going to have to use them for a long time, if not forever. So why wouldn't you ask about that? Now, when you get into the second piece of this message that says, ask if they can train a dog without this equipment. All right. The second part of that phrase, or second part of that message, is ask if they can train a dog without this equipment. I don't have a problem with that question per se, except that it obviously is probably going to put the trainer that you're questioning in defensive mode because it sounds very confrontational, right? However, the question itself, you know, isn't a particularly bad one. Like, you know, your trainer really, to be honest, should have the skill set to train the dog without specific equipment. Because if they don't, then that means they probably don't really understand how a dog learns. right? So if somebody asked me if I can train a dog without an e-collar or a prong collar, the answer is yes. But why in the fuck am I going to do that? Like, pardon my English. It's like asking a carpenter, well, can you build a house without a power saw? It's like, why would I want to do that? Okay, so sure. And let me be clear, like, even if you have a great trainer that can do that, okay, first of all, why would they want to? And second of all, it doesn't mean you can. Like, no offense, but training a dog is a skill set. Training a dog without tools that are very effective and efficient requires an even better skill set. Okay? So, as trainers, when we're trying to pass the baton over to the owners and have them do all this stuff with their dog, it's hard enough for the average person, right? Some people it comes more naturally to than others. Some people it's a breeze. Some people really struggle. And that's with the tools we use that make it very practical to stop unwanted behaviors, make you very effective at stopping unwanted behaviors, make you very efficient at getting behaviors reliable, even around distractions, getting behaviors reliably, rather. So take those tools away, and now you have to find another way to do it. And also, although this isn't explicitly stated in the message, the reason they're obviously asking this or encouraging people to ask this isn't the tools specifically, it's the negative consequences specifically. They want to know, they're encouraging people to ask, well, can you get a dog without using anything quote unquote aversive? You shouldn't have to use pain or fear. I have news. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. No, we don't teach new behaviors using those things. That would not be effective, right? But these tools that we use, the e-collar and the prong collar specifically, which is what this post is targeted at, they give you the ability to be gentle and to be firm, right? And although we start out very, very gentle, and probably using lots of food and reward and all that stuff too, at some point, we're going to hit a ceiling where the dog is as reliable as they are ever going to become unless we introduce negative consequences. And so it also depends on your definition of a trained dog. I mean, if your definition of a trained dog is just teaching them how to do something, then no, we don't need those tools. No, we don't need negative consequences. Rainbows and cupcakes all day long. I can teach your dog to sit, lay down, come when called. Here's the thing. That's not going to make them do it when they don't want to. Right? I can teach them how to do it. Doesn't mean they're going to do it. So there is a difference between teaching your dog a behavior and then teaching your dog that they are required to do that behavior. Those are two completely different things, my friend. And so once you get, sure, when we're talking about teaching a dog a new behavior, no, we don't need those tools. Nobody needs those tools. In most cases, anyway. However, those tools can still make that process more effective and efficient, and we can talk about that in a minute. However, once your dog knows the behavior and you hit that ceiling where they're as reliable as they're ever going to get, now you have to teach the dog that the behavior is actually required, right? It's not optional. So, how do you do that? So, I would like to flip this post around and say, you should ask your trainer what they use for consequences. And if they say, only positive consequences and only rewards or food or whatever, ask them how they teach the dog that the behavior is not optional. So that you can get that behavior when it matters, right? Around distractions, when there's a safety concern. How do you know your dog will come back when called? How do you teach them that they have to? Right? We can teach them to do it with food all day long, but how do you teach the dog that they have to? That seems like a good question to me, and they cannot answer that question. The answer will be put in more work, put in more time, put in more patience, keep your dog on a leash. That'll be their answer, really. Like, you just can't take your dog off leash. Or they'll say, well, good enough. Comes back half the time, good enough. Right? You're gonna get an answer like that. Or keep bacon in your pocket, or whole chickens or live rabbits or whatever. That's gonna be the answer. Because they don't have one. They don't have one. And so when I see posts like this, it just really it chaps my ass, right? It just really feeds the fire. Because, again, like I said, at face value, I don't have a problem with that message on there. But we know, especially if you have context and you see the post that accompanied it, you know that the idea is you're supposed to ensure that any trainer you're going to hire doesn't use e-collars, doesn't use prong collars, doesn't utilize negative consequences of any kind. And this particular person that made this post, I won't even call her a trainer because, in my opinion, I mean, you're not worth your salt as a trainer if you think this. She's certified, though, which is the funny part. So if that gives you any idea what quote unquote certified means in the dog training world, it's really at this point almost something to avoid. Because it's basically ensuring that they don't know what they're doing. Or they're lying. Right? So I don't want to accuse all of them of being evil liars, even though I think it's a good percentage. There's also such a thing as just blissful fucking ignorance, willful blindness. So I think even the ones that are ignorant, like, they know deep down inside, they know. Right? But it's easy to just keep pretending if we just put our hand up every time we see anything to the contrary and block it. Really, really easy to just yell and scream emotional things and not actually take in the information, right? Just choosing to stay blind. Just choosing to stay blind. Because what they're doing makes them feel good because they get to have what they feel like. And I say, because I'm being very careful about choosing my words here, I try very, very hard to be precise in my speech. They want to feel like they have this magical connection with animals and they are somehow virtuous, better than the other people on this planet because of it. Right? So they get to live in their little la-la land and pretend that they are the savior for all quote-unquote rescue dogs. And it doesn't matter how many people tell them, hey, this tool worked great for me. Or even, hey, I took your training where you taught my dog to do all these things, and all I had to do, we worked on it for years and years and years, and all I had to do was add a punishment for non-compliance, and now my dog is amazing and can be off leash anywhere. It doesn't matter how many people tell them that. They will just say, that's unnecessary. You shouldn't do that. You're going to damage your dog. You're going to damage your relationship. The American Association of Veterinary, blah, 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 who, by the way, vets aren't trainers. Right? And they're just going to repeat all these canned phrases from all these different sources that are considered to be authorities on the subject. And they're not. They're not. So the folks you should be listening to are not folks with letters in front of their name, not folks who are famous. None of that stuff matters. Now, I'm not saying those things are always bad. I'm sure there are famous people that know what they're talking about. There are YouTube personalities that know what they're talking about. I'm sure there are people with letters in front of their name that know what they're talking about. But those things alone do not mean anything. You should be paying attention to people who get results and they can show them and they can speak to them and they can explain what's happening and why it's not happening for other people and what's missing. And you should be able to say, geez, this is really consistent. This all fits together. This makes sense and I can see it. Right? And if they can't give you that, then you should not be listening to them. Right? If someone makes a 30-second video about how to stop something, stop a bad behavior, but then they never show you the result where they no longer need to intervene, then they didn't actually necessarily accomplish anything, right? You need to pay attention to that because people just cherry-pick stuff and say stuff because it sounds good, because it gets likes, because it gets shares, and it's just blatantly false. Right? And then you see posts like this that are encouraging people to basically be confrontational and not hire trainers that use certain pieces of equipment. And the end result of that really is people just stay stuck. So that's why I have a hard time looking at this and not getting angry. Like, I don't care. Like, they can train dogs however they want. I don't care. I have no problem with that. If someone wants to set up shop and only use treats, good for them. That's fine. In fact, they may even do a great job teaching dogs new behaviors. But actively trying to fear-monger folks into never completing their training, which is what this is, right? Because they're like, you can never add a negative consequence. Don't you do it. Because if you do, you're going to ruin your dog. You're going to damage your relationship. Your dog's going to hate you. You're going to traumatize your dog. Right? So don't you dare go finish your training. Don't you dare complete it. Don't you dare go make your dog off leash reliable. Well, fuck that. Okay, especially the folks that have put in the time. They've been working with their dog for weeks, months, years. And they still can't trust their dog because they were told one time that they should never use a negative consequence. And so now their dog is stuck in a crate, stuck on a leash, stuck in the yard, whatever the case may be, because of posts like this, right? So I'm not angry that someone uses positive methods. I'm not angry that someone thinks that's all you should do. I'm not angry that someone makes that their whole training rubric. That's foolish, but I'm not angry about it. Right? But fear-mongering folks into staying stuck is absolutely, positively unforgivable in my eyes. And there's no way that you get to be in this industry for 5, 10, 20 years. There's no way that you get to be 30, 40, 50 years old and not know the truth. There's no way. Like I said, even if they're lying to themselves, deep down inside, they know. And I have a real problem with that. I have a real problem with that. So sure, go ahead, ask your trainer what tools they use. I think that's great. If you want to ask them if they can train the dog without the equipment, hey, I think that's fine too. However, unless you want to sour your relationship immediately, I would probably be careful how I ask that question. Right? Because if you just say, well, can you train a dog without it? I mean, you're basically getting blacklisted as a customer right there because it sounds like you're just going to be a disagreeable nightmare. Right? And no good trainer is going to allow their client to dictate the training because that's stupid. Right? Because the whole reason this person's looking for a trainer is because they don't know how to do it. So, if as a trainer you let your client dictate the methods, the tools, and all of that, then it's like, what are you even doing? Like, what are you even taking their money for? I mean, they could do that without you, which is fine, by the way. DIY is fine, right? But if you come to me, you hire me, that's not DIY. This is our program. This is what we do. This is the tools we use. You don't get to dictate that. These are the tools we are extremely skilled with. These are the tools that historically we have been able to pass on fantastic results to our customers. It's not broken. Why would we fix it? And we're still learning and growing and improving every day. But historically, this has been the way that we provide the best results to our customers. And this has been the most practical, efficient, and effective way to influence a dog's behavior, especially off leash, which is so important, right? And we want dogs to be able to be free. We want them to be able to run, but the stakes are just too high. If you can't trust your dog, it could cost them their life. People take off leash not seriously enough, right? People are way too nonchalant about it. Anything can happen when your dog is off leash. You have no control unless you do. Right? And we take that very seriously. And that's why we use the tools that we use, because it puts all the control in the handler's. And we're very skilled at using the tools, and we're very skilled at teaching other people how to use the tools. And then they have maximum versatility and flexibility. They have maximum communication. They can stop their dog in its tracks if they need to. There isn't a better way, in my opinion. But regardless, the point was what is the point? What even is the point? Well, obviously the point in these posts again is fear-mongering and demonization, actively tearing down trainers who do a good job and get better results than they do. The American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. Yes, they post a lot of garbage. So it's not their post, but they largely provide this woman with her faulty philosophy. So they publicize a lot of garbage. So you can't turn to them for any good information. You're not going to get any there. But that's it, guys. Like that's the gist of today's episode, is I'm just ranting about this crap. So ask your dog trainer those questions. But, if you ask them that way, don't be surprised if you get a hostile response, because you got to understand, from our perspective, we're getting hit with this crap all the time. All the time. Right? And it's not right for everybody. Like, not everyone's comfortable using a negative consequence. Not everyone's comfortable putting a prong collar on their dog. That's fine. No judgment here. But I'm not your trainer. Right? We're not for you. I've had people ask me if I offer any programs that are purely positive. No. No, I do not offer any programs that only do half the job and take your money. I do not offer that. Again, no judgment. Everybody's on their own journey. A lot of folks, like this woman that made this post, I think are often dealing with their own issues from their past, right? Bullies, abuse, things of that nature. And it's not resolved. It's not resolved. But I wouldn't want to be lying on my deathbed someday and realizing I could have helped all these folks and instead I kept them stuck. I couldn't live with that. Of course, it's just not in my nature to go along with crap because it sounds good or because everyone else says so. And I was listening to Jordan Peterson the other day and he said something, and it was just in passing, but everything out of this man's mouth is fairly profound. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was, if you go along with the lies, then you're part of the problem or something to that effect. And, it reminded me of things that I have said in the past about this stuff. It's like, if you go along with it, if you hide what you do, right? You hide the prong collar, you hide the e-collar, you take it off when you go certain places or when certain people are around, or you stand in circles and kind of nod your head. Part of the problem. Right? So it becomes harder for other people to find the path. Right? And what's right and good gets squashed. Right? The path to the truth becomes more concealed, right? Because you're going along with the lies. And it's just not, it's never been in my nature to do that. It really sets off my radar when I can see that something that is true, something that is right, is being distorted, is being twisted, is being demonized. And those people are always so loud. But those things motivate me so much. So much. So it just really fuels my passion. And it makes me more invested to do more, reach more, to do better. And, I have to say, I'm talking about this one individual who's like a speck in an ocean, but there are so many of them. And looking at the comments, I actually feel pretty good about the fact that we seem to be making some progress. I see more and more people standing up and saying, actually, I don't agree with that. Right? So they're not standing up and saying, hey, I think you're a dumb schmuck and you should shut your mouth, which is kind of what I want to say. But they are standing up and say, actually, I use those tools and they've been fantastic. Right? And so usually what we see is we see people standing up and saying something like, well, if you use them properly and you use them the right way, and that's something. That's something. It's still not my cup of tea because I think that goes without saying, right? So they're trying to shield against backlash when they do that, is all that's happening. Right? They're trying to get their difference of opinion, their foot in the door, without someone slamming the door on their foot. So they're trying to be very cautious and delicate, is what that is. But I mean, it goes without saying. Like, who's going to say, well, you should use it improperly? Like, no one's going to say that for any tool. You have to use a leash properly. You have to use a prong collar properly. When you use hammers to pound in nails, you got to use the hammer properly, right? We don't use hammers to, I'm not good at analogies, guys. I'm not good at analogies. Right? If you have a nail and a hammer and you hold the nail onto a piece of wood and then you start whacking it with the handle of the hammer, that's not going to be really effective, right? If you're hitting it super gently, that's not going to be very effective. If you're hitting it from the side, that's not going to be super effective, right? If you're just trying to mash it in there with the hammer, just pushing on it instead of using a pounding action, that's not going to be very effective, right? So there are ways to use the tool wrong that aren't going to work very well, or you could hurt yourself, right? Obviously, there are right and wrong ways to use tools. That is true for every single tool in the universe. And nobody sets out to use a tool incorrectly and inefficiently. So there's really no need to state that used properly. It's like, yeah, of course, right? No one's making the argument that table saws are bad, even though you can lose a limb. Right? And e-collars and prong collars really aren't going to hurt dogs, right? And people aren't going to like mentally, psychologically damage their dog unless they're actually sadistic, in which case they don't need a prong collar or an e-collar. Trust me, they will accomplish their goal of damaging the dog without the tools, right? So it's not the tools, it's the person. Right? You want to check someone's reflexes, you don't use a hammer. Right? A pair of scissors, it can be an amazing tool if used properly. If not, you could lose a finger. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, you get to use your tools properly. There's really no need to preface a statement with that. But again, I understand why people do. But I'm just encouraged by the fact that more and more people are at least saying, I don't think so, actually. I think there's some problems with what you're saying. I think the tools are actually pretty okay. Like, and that makes me really happy to see that.
And as a side note, we actually just completed a private lesson here this afternoon. These customers are brand new. This was their first lesson, so we got their dog fitted with the equipment, and we were teaching them how to condition their dog to the e-collar and how to use the prong collar, and everything went swimmingly. The dog was picking up on things really, really quickly, and even though it's kind of an anxious dog, she was very happy to participate and was engaged and wagging her tail, and she was doing really great. And no, not every dog does that because a lot of dogs are just uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable going somewhere new. They're uncomfortable having to do work. They're uncomfortable. Everything makes them uncomfortable. And so, it's not the tools. It's just that's the dog's personality, right? And so, but this dog was having a pretty good time and was doing great. And the reason I'm talking about this is because when we first fitted the dog for their equipment, and I brought out the prong collar and I asked them if they had ever used one before, which we talk about in the consultation, right? But that was a long time ago at this point. I can't even remember. if they were familiar with the prong collar or not. And the woman admitted no, she had, you know, they had never used one, and she actually found them a little bit scary. And of course, she remembered our phone conversation, and we had already talked about the equipment a little bit. So she knew, she wasn't surprised by it. But, you know, she told me that, and I totally got it and told her I used to be in that camp too. And I kind of explained to her a little bit about what it did again. And I let her, you know, feel it, and we put it on the dog. And I'll tell you what, they did their lesson. And again, everything went swimmingly. And they got home, and they weren't even home for an hour, and they had already sent us a video of their dog doing something that they just never dreamed their dog could do, which was a simple behavior of just keeping her butt on the ground while another dog walked by. But that's not something she would have ever done before. She was on a harness before. She was anxious. She was always pacing, going in circles. She gets very excitable when other dogs go by, and would pull, and it would take some muscle to hang on to her. And not only were they not being pulled down the road, but she was sitting, which was wild to them, right? And of course, as dog trainers like Joyce and I, we just take that for granted. Like, we just expect that kind of behavior, and it's so easy to get. With the tools that we use, it's very easy to get. But other people, they don't understand that until they do it, and then they're kind of blown away, like, how different it can be, like how big of a shift there is when you actually can use your leash to get things from your dog and to influence your dog and to talk to your dog. It is wild, right? And so this dog is already being wired to be a little bit calmer, a little bit more relaxed, a little bit less anxious. And she was sitting there as happy as can be, and she was pretty perked up, and like her tail was wagging a little bit, which is fine. She fixated like more than I would like, right, if we had her for a board and train. But from their perspective, like, it was amazing, right? And I think it's amazing that they are already having such a dramatic success, right? One lesson. One lesson, they went home, and like, they can actually easily walk by other dogs and even get their dog to hold a sit, which she would never do before. Even when there's not a lot going on, she's the type of dog that just, it's like she has a spring on her butt. She pops up, she's doing circles, walking back and forth, right? Head on a swivel, glancing around because she's anxious. And like, now, just a tiny little bit of leash pressure, two fingers, and the dog will just sit nicely and just watch the other dog go by. It was fantastic. So yeah, I mean, who wouldn't love that, right? And that's why we do what we do. And it's why we do it the way we do it.
So that's it for today's guys. That's it for my ranting. I'm getting a sore throat, so I'm going to go. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to next time. Please, please, please send your questions, comments, suggestions to Katie, K-A-T-I, at DiamondK9. That's Diamond, C-A-N-I-N-E. Katie at DiamondK9.com. Would love, love, love to hear from you. Always looking for new things to talk about, think about, rant about. So hurry up and get those thoughts over to me. Again, thanks for joining me, guys. And I look forward to next time. Bye-bye.